Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's a top 10. Oh, we had an explosion at the end. That's a top 10. That may be a top three.
Yeah.
Rocket flight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And we're going to have some fun today. We're going to be talking about fit and what it means to fit at Auburn. I talked about it on my show. Chris Doering went on the next round, and he said that fit was a big conversation as far as new coaches come, and he felt like obviously Will Stein was a great fit at Kentucky. Dad played there, something like that. John Summerall's a great fit at Florida. And obviously he said Alex Golish is like the perfect fit at Auburn. And I think that piece caught me more than the rest of the conversation. And I think I agree with him, but that's not how I felt to begin with. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because I think my thought is similar to a lot of folks. I don't know if it 100% aligns with you, but I've felt like Auburn has hired a lot of coaches that are decent coaches on paper, but didn't fit. And then they hired Hugh Freeze, who in my mind, and I think in your mind, and maybe several others, he was the perfect fit for Auburn in the small box that we view this Auburn job and like what it takes to win at Auburn. And Alex Golish didn't have any of those things that I considered what it is that fits at Auburn. He's not from the South. He's never been to Auburn until he was hired.
Yeah, he said that. He's admitted that.
And, you know, I know he coached at Tennessee for 2 years, but I wouldn't call him an SEC guy. I've always felt like he probably needed an SEC guy or somebody with a lot of experience. And I can go down the list, and I think you all know what I'm talking about. But now I'm wondering if maybe I've just been wrong all along on what it means to fit at Auburn.
I guess I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I told you when you look at fits, so the three candidates that were on the radar when Hugh was let go, elevate Durkin from BC to, you know.
I would say checks it almost every box
yes.
as a fit at Auburn, yes. minus super success as a head coach.
Right.
SEC guy, great recruiter, great with the alumni, great with the money, knows where the bodies are buried, ton of SEC experience, big SEC Rolodex of coaches. I felt like he checked all the boxes, right?
Summerall was next.
And I would say
he checked a lot of the boxes.
Yeah.
I know people are going to say Troy. People are going to say Tulane. It's like, yeah, but he coached at Kentucky. He played at Kentucky. He's an SEC guy. Loves it. He said it in his SEC media days. Loves the Southeastern Conference. He thought that was the only conference that actually existed when he was growing up.
I mean, he's literally only coached. There was a short stint at San Diego, which is I would love to ask him about that stint. But I mean, if you look other than that, Kentucky, Tulane, Troy, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Troy, Tulane, Florida, all those would be considered Southeast.
Yeah. And yeah, with a one-off. And then your third candidate was Alex Golish, which let me just call it what it is. I had to Google him.
Sure.
I had to go look and see some of his interviews that he did, South Florida interviews, even some of his basically interviews that he did with local papers and beat writers with Tennessee, because nobody talks to coordinators and you know, on television. And so, you know, it's not like I could find that on YouTube. Liked what I saw, but I was with you. Now, the difference, I know you're talking about Southeast. I just like the fact that he had big time program experience, you know, starting at Ohio State. And, you know, I know that Central Florida is not a huge program, but it's a huge school. It's not necessarily on the map like Florida or Florida State or Miami in the state of Florida. And then, of course, South Florida. But even his 2 years at Tennessee, he clearly knows he's not an SEC guy, but he knows if you don't win what the ramifications are. And he knows what SEC fans probably expect. So,
But let me ask you this. Does this scream Auburn head football coach? Okay, Ohio State, Northern Illinois, Oklahoma State, Toledo, Illinois, Iowa State.
No.
No. So that's kind of where I'm going, but keep going. I'm sorry.
And so the only thing he had going for him in my book was at least being a part of some big-time programs. So I was like, so he's not going to be overwhelmed. He's seen it firsthand what comes about if you don't beat Michigan, what comes about if you don't beat Alabama or you don't contend with Alabama when you're at Tennessee. He's seen it. Not necessarily been put in the crosshairs like his head coach that he worked for did, but he's still seen it and knows what goes on in those meeting rooms. But he by far was probably third on the list for me. And then when I started watching his stuff, Kyle, I thought, okay, this dude's got he's got kind of a hard work mentality, which mm-hmm. hard hat / take your lunch pail to work type deal. All the stuff that you liked during the – I told you I grew up during the die era. So kind of the saying little things like, you know, like Die was most famously saying, how long is it going to take to beat Alabama? He said about 60 minutes. And, you know, that kind of stuff is the kind of stuff Alex Dolish was saying on interviews before.
Yeah, the whole you've lost Alabama six times in a row or five times in a row like that. He's like, well, hold on a second. We haven't lost Alabama anytime.
Yeah.
It's a single time. So let's start there. Like this team right now is a new team. That ain't got nothing to do with me. That was very Pat Dye-esque.
It was. And handling himself that way, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I was like, he started growing on me more and more as being like a guy that Auburn needed. Now, the thing that worried me, I told you that, and people are going to hate that I say this.
I know where you're going with this.
The way he handles himself is kind of Saban-esque.
Okay, I thought you were going to go in a different direction.
No. No, it's very Saban-esque, the way he handles himself both at the podium, even on the day-to-day activities. You know, there were a lot of people.
The messaging.
Yeah.
Process.
Yes.
Standards.
Yeah.
Discipline. Like, you know, he's done straight out of his playbook.
He's already kicked the player off. He sat Singleton during A-Day.
He did. His guy.
I think that a lot of people don't realize that was huge to me because that let me know that he didn't meet the standard and he didn't get to go out there and be with his brethren. Everybody goes, it's just A-Day. There are a lot of people that were there to see Singleton. Singleton's supposed to be like the best receiver that Byron Brown's got.
Yeah.
So trust me, there are a lot of people wanting to see Singleton out there, at least media people, maybe not fans, but we wanted to see him out there. He sat him. So clearly he's a disciplinarian, but still gives kids a chance. You know what I mean? Like Saban, where Saban said, I'm not big on kicking guys off. I'd much rather them learn from the experience. Now, they may be getting up at 4 a.m. every morning and coming in to, you know, to work out, but we're going to find a way. So there's a lot of Sabanisms that go with. He's very hands-on. We've talked about how when they're down there working out in the facility, he's down there in the facility. When they're going through drills, he's over there going through drills with them, walking them through stuff. We saw that with Saban when he coached with the defensive backs or when he'd help out with linebackers. He didn't play the quote-unquote CEO role and sit up on top of the tower and blow whistles and just point at everybody and then go over game tape later. He was hands-on. Alex Golish seems to be that type coach. Pat Dye was that coach. You know, it was where they were there in people's faces and they were the face of the program, and I'm fine with that. Like, that's what a head coach should be. Think of the stark contrast from Media Day. Kalen DeBoer looked like he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be the face of the program. DeBoer doesn't. I think Alex Golish is like, the buck stops with me. Like, I'm the one responsible for how this team performs. If you have an issue, come to me with it. I'll answer your issue. And I like that. I like the holding responsibility of yours and your team's actions. And I think that is what has made him already become, quote unquote, an Auburn man, in my opinion.
Do you feel like, okay, because I thought the direction you were going to go was not Saban. I thought you were going to go in the Harsin direction because when Harsin's
my biggest failure because I was all about him when he came.
But why were you big on him?
Because he didn't have the Auburn tie. I wanted somebody that wasn't going to be influenced by outsiders. And then when I got here and realized he just didn't even care if he went to work, I was like, this guy.
Well, see, that's – see, I don't know that I necessarily agree that that's was his downfall. I think he said a lot of the things that are similar. You know, we're going to be disciplined and we're going to take the stairs. We're not like – we're not taking elevators. I'm going to run stadiums with you. You know, we're going to do – we're going to do the hard – we're going to get back to being like a hard-nosed downhill, you know, downhill team. Like a lot of the same messaging was there. And I think there was a lot of people that said some of the things that you said about Harsin. He kind of feels like he's got a Pat Dye vibe to him, you know, bringing back, you know, toughness and so on and so forth. To me, where his downfall was not inside that facility. It was outside the facility. And
there's no doubt.
I think that's what's been the biggest surprise to me is the effort in which, and I don't know why I felt this way. I think it goes back to not knowing or being skeptical that someone that doesn't necessarily know or isn't an SEC guy knows what needs to be done to compete. And they completely cleaned house. Like there's hardly anybody around that can even tell him, you know, what you're supposed to do other than DJ Durkin and those guys. But he worked his tail off from the time he's gotten here, recruited his tail off, and I think that was the element that Harsin missed.
Yep.
Was that, hey, it's not just about if you build it, they'll come. Like, you got to go get them. And I guess that's opening my eyes to – the fact that maybe the fit for Auburn is not as narrow of a person or a narrow thing of a narrow bunch of traits, like a very small specific bunch of traits. I think it could be more open as long as you're tough and you work hard. It kind of feels like you'll figure it out.
Well, nothing beats hard work. And I'm going to say this about Golish, and this is something that people really ought to appreciate. Hugh was here for his 3 years, and I think darkened the doors of Auburn High and Opelika High maybe once, if that.
Yeah.
We carry on our radio station, we carry Auburn High football.
Right.
They have been in touch with Golish since he got here. They could pick up the phone at any point in time and call him. We got a kid. Need you to stop by. We need a motivational boost. I don't know how that is with Opelika. We don't carry Opelika. I don't. And they got a new head coach over there in Jonathan Chandler, so I'm not sure. But I'm sure JC, with his ties to Troy and all that kind of stuff, maybe he's got some leeway with him. Same thing with Central. He's already been over there and seen those guys. Listen, that did not happen in the Harsin era, and it barely happened in the Hugh era.
Well, see,
at some point in time,
it fell off with Hugh. But like I remember at the beginning, it felt like he was everywhere.
He did an initial like go and see him, but they didn't have a direct line of communication with him.
Yeah,
these guys have got Golish's number, and the thing is like you said about work, Kyle. They're not going to do it, but they can text him at 11 o'clock at night, and he's going to respond to him. Like that's
probably, I don't know when the guy sleeps.
That's the type he is. And if it continues, if it stays that way, because again, maybe it is, I don't know. We can't tell the future. Maybe, you know, you're right. Hugh did make the rounds when he first got here, but you know, that ended up falling off. But if Golish keeps doing that, and that's not to say that you got kids that you need to be recruiting from Auburn High or from Opelika High. Maybe there's some classes that come through that you don't need anybody from there. But I think it's important that the people around you, Central, Opelika, Auburn, Smith Station, that you know who the head coaches are so you can visit with them when you need. And he's already done that. And he hasn't even been here a full year yet. And I think that little things like that, putting in the work and him saying, we're gonna recruit, what'd he say, 200 miles from Auburn, like with our window, our bubble.
Right.
Something like that during one of his opening statements. And he's held true to it. Like he does. He knows all the coaches within 200 miles. He's made it a point to have their number, them have his. And I think that that's important because we have not seen that. We Malzahn did it for probably 8 years, and then it started kind of falling off.
Well, he was only here for like 8 years.
Yeah.
So maybe towards the end.
Literally his last 2 years is when it started falling off. But he was that way. He still stayed in touch with him. He may not be sitting in coaches' rooms with him, but I think that kind of stuff's important. Like you talked about, the hard work and the salt of the earth. And he believes in discipline. He does have that standard. He holds guys to a certain standard that they have to. I mean, you've heard Byron Brown talk about that. And I think it helps too, him bringing that flock of players with him that have kind of let some of the current players know, hey, this dude is like for real. Like,
and it's funny because we talked about, we had a previous episode where we talked about, like, is he a robot? Because, or is it like, how can someone be this dead on with all the things that Auburn fans want to hear and not have really a clue about Auburn? You know what I mean? Like, not really have any idea about Auburn. It's kind of fascinating. And now, I'm just wondering if maybe Auburn is not as, again, I said it earlier, maybe it's just not as, like, you know how when you're looking through a, I guess maybe the way is just not as narrow as I thought it was. I guess more people can be successful here than I initially thought. So this whole experience with Alex Gulish so far, now, does it equal wins? I don't know.
Well, and does it equal success, not just talking about wins, but like day-to-day scenarios when the season begins and like when Saturday rolls around? I mean, does he make the same decision of you got a back that's just chunking up 6 and 7 yards a carry and all of a sudden you decide to throw it 3 times for 3 interceptions when you didn't have to do that? Or does he stay the standard of, and making decent decisions? So, there's still a lot to be said, done, learned, even throughout the season, especially on a coaching aspect of things. But from a representative of Auburn as a head coach, yes, I think he's proven that you can be a quote-unquote outsider. Because
there you go.
I'm sorry.
Outsider's a word I was looking for.
Yeah, when people say, he's got his time at Tennessee, 2 years as a coordinator, back in the back where, again, TV stations aren't talking to you, newspapers aren't talking to you. That's a whole different ballgame than having that HC by your name.
Exactly.
And being out in front of the bullets and the guns that are all pointed at you. So he is an outsider. I mean, Kyle, you just ran out his resume a while ago. I mean, you're talking about Northern Illinois and Illinois. And I mean, those are not guys that you look to come to Auburn. No. And I understand that he's been down in South Florida and he's recruited Florida. And he's been at Tennessee and he's been in Ohio State. I mean, I've been one that said that. But for the most part, he's not the guy that grew up coming to Auburn games or Alabama games or John Sumrall going to Kentucky games and playing at Kentucky. He's not that guy. And
you know what else? Another thing, like understanding SEC rivalries, you would think he wouldn't have a real good understanding of that. Well, heck, he's putting more emphasis on the Iron Bowl than guys that have coached in the Iron Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, are coached against.
He's got them bought in too, Kyle. He's got those South Florida guys, Byron Brown being quoted on it, talking about, yeah, he does. He plays that stuff. Like, we know we've got to beat Alabama. Like, he's got the team buying into it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that was the case the last couple of years.
It's funny, man. I just would have never, ever guessed that this would be the. If you gave me 10 terms to describe Alex Gulish at Auburn, fit would probably not be on the list. Like, it really wouldn't initially. And now I think he's exactly who Auburn needs at the time. Auburn needs him. And you just got to see if they can put this part together and go win football games. So
I'll say this. I mentioned the Saban esque while ago. People forget West Virginia kid that coached at Michigan State, coached the Browns. Yes, he got to LSU from Michigan State and then he became successful, but he was an outsider when he went to LSU. He was an outsider when
that's
he went
fair.
To LSU.
That's fair.
And And now he became very successful, but we've always said LSU is the easiest place to recruit because you own the state of Louisiana. But he became very successful. And apart from his time at LSU, when Alabama got him, yes, he was a successful LSU coach, but there were still Alabama fans that didn't know where they were getting. They just knew they were getting a guy that was very successful at LSU, but he wasn't somebody that grew up going to Bama game. I mean, Kirby played at Georgia. He knows the Georgia-Florida rivalry. Kirby's well aware of Southeastern Conference football.
Yeah.
You know, Saban was not until he got to LSU. He was not aware of it. Alex Golish was not until
he had a process and a system that he lived by and a standard that he upheld.
Yep.
And it works pretty much everywhere he's been.
Yep.
So now you see Golish having a lot of those same type qualities. Again, not comparing the two, not saying Golish is going to be the next Saban, just seeing like there are some parallels that you can see as far as the way they conduct themselves and the messaging and the way they run their program. So it, hopefully that equates to wins. If he wins, he'll even be a bigger fit.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, there'll be statues talked about if he wins football games.
My gosh, if he were to somehow get Auburn into a, you know, an eight or nine win scenario, they may build a statue of him year one after this stretch of years we've had.
You go into the Alabama game with eight wins with a chance to get nine and a playoff berth
or playoff conversation.
They're going to roll his house. Like, any just tumors, they're going to go home with him. So he's got a lot of wood to chop between now and the end of the season. But right now he has set himself up to be successful just by the way he is running the program.
Yep. Yep. Good stuff, Ben. I appreciate you, man. Thank y'all for listening. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. I guess if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, that makes no sense. And if you're watching this, you're already liked and subscribed. So just forget that whole last thing I just said. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again tomorrow. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.